Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Dave's Good Vibration Station here on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. I'm your host, Davey, and this is the show where we talk about anything and everything. Raise your vibration. Woo! Can you feel the energy in the air? As you guys know, this is the show where we explore the depths of the human experience. We indulge in human consciousness. We talk about anything and everything that really matters to the soul, to the mind, the body, the spirit, the connection between the all that is this, the all that isness, the interconnected, interwoven matrix of time, space, reality, consciousness. It's all here on the Vibration Station. And what we have actually dedicated our lives to the purpose of introducing new ideas, new concepts, new approaches to life, to this human experience that may assist you in living a happier, healthier, wealthier, and more fulfilled lifestyle. That is the entire soul purpose and intention behind Dave's Good Vibration Station. All the guests that we bring on, the emails that we receive and respond to, everything that we do here revolves around assisting people in living happier, healthier, wealthier, and more fulfilled lifestyle. Once again, guys, I'm your host, Davey, and I would like to welcome you to a very special show today. We have the one and only Dr. Michelle Cohen. Dr. Michelle, do we have you on the line?
I'm here, Davey. How are you?
Hey, there we go. Can you hear me all right, Doc?
I hear you great. How's it going? I don't know if you can hear me, but I can hear you.
Oh, perfect. There we go. I'm having an amazing day. Doc, thank you for asking. How's your day?
It's great. Just beating the heat here in Southern California. Trying to stay indoors.
definitely very warm. Doc, first and foremost, I want to thank you so much for taking a portion of your Sunday afternoon to come on the air and chat with us, share with us your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding of what our topic is today, which is, of course, here on the Vibration Station, always trying to help people, topic being increasing your self-esteem through which avenues we can consciously and deliberately take to increase our self-esteem. What are some self-destructive behaviors that we have as individuals which lower our self-esteem? And how does the self-esteem really come into play with your day-to-day interactions, activities, whatever you might do at your office, your self-worth? So we talk about these concepts a lot here in the Vibration Station, but we always have a new approach to whichever facet of, you know, the human experience we're talking about. And I feel like self-esteem is something that we've obviously talked about before, but we haven't dedicated a full show here on the Vibration Station to actually diving into the depths of, you know, how powerful how powerful of a role self-esteem plays in our happiness and living a fulfilled experience here on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. So, Doc, thank you so much for your time to share with us. For those of you that aren't familiar, got to make sure to check her out every Friday at 11 on LATalkRadio.com, Channel 1, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. You can always email her as well, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And, of course, check out the website, www.straighttalkdoc.com. That's almost a tongue twister, straighttalkdoc.com.
There you go.
So thank you, Doc, for being with us. How you doing?
Yeah, my pleasure. I love talking about this. This is a fun subject.
This is fun. So I'm just actually going to dive into a question, if that's all right with you.
Sure.
In the topic of discussion being self-esteem, it raises a lot of emotion in the sense of, we all say that we have a healthy self-esteem. We all say that we want to have a healthy self-esteem, but a lot of us actually participate in so many self-destructive behaviors on a moment-to-moment basis that we subconsciously do that is actually lowering our self-respect. It's lowering the respect that we have for ourselves and our self-esteem. So my first question for you is, what are some tools that people can use on a day-to-day basis when it comes to being able to elevate their self-esteem?
Well, that's a great question. I think what we have to do, instead of, first of all, jumping into tools, I think it's really important that we look at why we have self-esteem issues, right?
Right.
So, I mean, we all have, our preconceptions, and we've all had negative experiences growing up. So, self-esteem can be affected by, as we call it, the early environment that you're exposed to, right? So if you have a dysfunctional family or problems, growing up in a family, and you don't feel like you're loved as much, or your parents don't have the ability to share with you, because of their problems that they may have. So, all of the experiences we have growing up that might be not too great, can really affect us. So we're like sponges as little people, as young people. We soak everything up. And we have our own little egos, So when we don't get the attention we need from whoever, caregivers, whether it be grandma, grandpa, raising us, or whoever the caregivers are, or our own parents, or there's trauma in the home, we see a lot of, fighting, or we see drama, things like that. We feel left alone. We're not, we feel like we're not loved.
Exactly.
And then we go on about, and then we put these thoughts in our minds and store them. I'm not lovable. I'm not worthy. I'm not, capable of accomplishing anything because I don't deserve it. Those kinds of thoughts. And sometimes parents who are mean or have their own personality issues tell us those things, and they don't even have to tell us. I have a lot of patients who have, the missing mother or the missing father complex. The father, my dad was always at work. I never saw him. He was never involved with us. I didn't feel loved, that kind of thing. So all those kinds of situations growing up sort of stick in our minds, and we embrace them as I'm not lovable. So that's looking at the trauma, that's one. And also our negative school experiences. If we're in elementary school, that's where it starts, too.
Yeah.
And kids tease us. Everybody gets teased. Everybody gets teased. It's part of growing up. It's not nice, but it's what happens. So you and I were talking.
We were.
A while ago about this. So you were sharing some of your experiences with me about being teased.
Yes.
So would you – now I sound like I'm hosting the show today here. But
No, I'm happy. No, absolutely.
Can you share Can you kind of share with me again what some of your negative experiences were, you know, that you sort of maybe imprinted in elementary school that might have really affected you?
Yeah, definitely. That rippled throughout, you know, my life as I grew older, and it took some conscious and deliberate effort to release these attachments to these old fears that I had seated, you know, in my consciousness. And what it is you have a certain relationship with yourself regarding a specific subject when people tell you over and over again, right? So, sure, I'll looking back, it makes me laugh because it sounds really funny, but it actually really did, affect me on a deep level. Since you're asking, Doc, putting me under the spot here. I'm totally kidding. In elementary school, I did have a large mole on the right side of my face, and kids would take a stick and they'd poke it and they'd say like, moly, moly, moly. Like Austin Powers, the guy with guacamole. And looking back, it sounds really funny, but at the time, it really hurt my feelings, right? So I onto that. That's something I definitely held on to the point to where I had to actually get it removed. Literally, I went to my mom and I said, "Hey, mom, I get teased from this mole. You know, can you remove it for me?" And she was so compassionate and kind and loving. She said, "Absolutely, honey, anything that'll make you feel better." But the thing that really lit up my heart was when she said, "Well, just remember, that's your kiss from God." And I said, "Oh, well, I still want to get it removed because the other kids don't see it like that." So. But that was one of the really small little things. When I was speak about the brain and being affected and self-esteem and stuff like that. What I will say is, I've realized even to this day that when I was 2 years old, when I was 2 years old, my father got in a really bad car accident, and he had surgery in the spine, really, really big deal. And I remember, still to this day, you know, sometimes seeing flashes. Just, you know, I just remember this very brief moment of seeing him, you know, in the hospital, and just had the feeling and the emotion that I remember. Sometimes, there's a couple accidents, and one of the times my mom came, and the way that she walked up, she was a little late. I could just tell something was wrong. So I think seeing that actually affected my self-esteem a little bit, in the point of where I wanted to I wanted my father, and obviously my mother as well, but seeing my father in that state, I wanted him to be like really proud of me. So I realized that I did a lot of things throughout my life that reflected what my parents wanted me to do for them, because I felt I didn't want to lose them. So I'm going to be the best son that I can. And I don't want to, and it was weird because I was afraid of him leaving. I was afraid of him passing away. Like I couldn't get up.
That's normal. Yeah. When you have a parent who's ill. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like I couldn't get out of the car if it was raining, you know, I just wouldn't go to school a lot of the time because I was afraid that he would like crash. Right. And same with my mom. So that was a rant, but then you take that to today, and I'll tell you, I have had more trouble with cars in my life. I've had more difficulties with my confidence, my self-esteem, my confidence when it comes to driving. And I've had really bad karma in some way, shape, or form with cars. Now, I don't believe in, you know, I do believe in obviously law of attraction, karma, but I guess what I'm saying is, yes, there's an experience to where when I was younger, something happened, I carried it with me, I got in multiple car accidents, more car accidents within a 5-year period than some people get in their entire lives. And it's just, I do think a lot of it has to do with how I held on to the fear of, you know, cars, and I wasn't necessarily a confident driver after, you know, a lot of that, even before. But sure. So there you go. there was a couple things there. You know, we had the mole, we had the car, but yeah, I mean, they're all examples of how, you know, when we're young, regardless of how, you know, young we might be or how naive we might be at the time, we are definitely picking up on, you know, the energy from our peers, and we're picking up on the judgments from our peers or the worries of our parents, and transmute and get passed down from them to us. And then we do hold on to it unless we consciously and deliberately catch ourselves thinking a destructive thought and saying, wow, this is someone else's belief. Now, here's one concept I wanted to share with you, Doc, and then the mic is all yours. One of these great speakers, he's a channeler. His name is Bashar. Listeners, if you're ever looking...
Bashar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Doc, you are familiar with Bashar, right? Mm-hmm. So listeners, if you're looking for a great source of information, check out Bashar, B-A-S-H-A-R. He's really, really interesting and will definitely give you a whole new perspective on the human experience. So one of the things that Bashar talks about is people being a belief thief. Now, what is a belief thief? A belief thief is someone that unconsciously and unknowingly steals a belief from someone around them, whether it be a parent or a friend or a sister, a brother, a boss, a partner, whatever it is. A belief thief is when you adopt a belief system. It could be a very small belief. Could be an entire belief system, right? It's when you adopt a belief system without even questioning why you're adopting this belief system. You have just literally like stolen someone else's beliefs because you have forgotten to think essentially for yourself, right? So that's what a belief is. And then when you actually go through your thoughts to rid yourself of these beliefs that you've taken from other people unknowingly, what you got to do, you got to be aware of your thoughts. So every time you think a thought and something comes up, you will be so surprised at how many times you actually trigger certain thoughts and belief systems and patterns of thought that do not serve you. Right.
Right.
So, when those come up, you think about it and you say, oh my gosh, I've been holding on to that since I was 6 years old from when that happened. And I judged, you know, this type of experience with this type of emotion. And that's how I've always looked at it. Turns out that I've been looking at it wrong all these years. So that's kind of the whole idea.
Oh.
Doc, please, I want you to, what are your thoughts?
Thank you for that story, because I think, you know, that's really a perfect example, you know, about, you know, being teased about your mole when you were young. And that's cruel. Kids are so cruel, you know, and, you know, the fears that were placed about, you know, the car accident, you know, that you said your dad was in and how you were worried about his existence. And, you know, I mean, all those things are very powerful in affecting how we believe and also how we believe about self-empowerment, you know.
Right.
So, you know, when we understand, again, you know, a background in our lives as to where, you know, we are sorting out who we are in the world and buying into some negative belief systems and fearing, and especially something I wanted to talk about, and I kind of shared this on social media earlier, about, you know, how social media really affects our self-esteem. And it really should. It's ridiculous because, I mean, it's easy for me to say, and I'm not judging, but what I'm saying is it's really sad that a lot of my patients who come to see me are so devastated because other people they know and their friends are seemingly looking hot and having amazing times and everybody's happy and every, you know, and it's like, it's so a public relations campaign. I mean, we
it's
are
so true. Oh my God.
So,
yeah.
So it's just, it's not. I mean, and what I find personally is a lot of people who do a lot of posting and, you know, on Instagram and whatever, wherever, and, you know, a lot of Facebook stuff about what they're doing and where they're at and all their friends, they're almost trying too hard to show everybody that they're happy.
Absolutely.
So I want you guys to keep that in mind, that a lot of people who are doing that, yes, there are people who are very popular and very exciting and want to go out and show and share their life, but a lot of people are really saying, please, please accept me as being so hot and popular. And
right. And
it's just, you know, it's just a phenomenon. It's just the way it is. We assume, you know, the amount of followers someone has, you know, constitutes
dictates their
being absolutely having their lives together.
Right. But, so
you know,
true.
And I don't mean it to say that because I know that you have a lot of followers on your universal consciousness.
No, but you know what? I couldn't agree more with you, Doc, because, you know, that's not with Universal Consciousness 1111. We just use that as a platform to post memes of, you know, positive affirmations or, you know, notifications towards events like gatherings for people to come to. There's no one that is actually like nobody really knows that. You know, I am one of the co-founders and my partner, Rita, is another one of the no one knows who we are, you know, unless.
Right. And it's all positive statements and it's all, you know, very, you know, wonderfully philosophical and spiritual statements to live by. So,
you know,
there's not pictures of you and Rita and having wonderful times or bragging about all. I mean, there's none of that, you know, so.
Right.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you. I do appreciate you saying that. And you know, that is that I've had many conversations with many people about this exact topic. And, you know, I feel like that is the way that social media should be used. If you're going to use social media, right?
Yeah.
Use it in a way that you know is going to literally raise the vibration of anyone that has the pleasure of coming across it, right? If you use social media in a way to boost your own ego, right? Now, I want to define this difference between ego and self-esteem, right?
Right.
When you boost yourself up on social media to receive responses from other people that say, wow, you're so hot. Ooh, wow, look at your life. Oh, I'm so jealous of you. When you post with the intention, it's all about the intention behind your post. When you post with the intention of trying to receive a certain type of feedback from the people that, you know, are looking at your posts, that really defines what type of person you are and what you're contributing to the collective consciousness of planet Earth, to the masses, to anyone that comes across your page. So when you're posting for only self-gain,
right?
Not, because I post for self-gain. When I post on Universal Consciousness, I post for self-gain. Self-gain in the sense of it makes me happy when I post a meme and other people comment and, you know, a couple thousand people say, I really, really appreciate that. You know, I really like it. And then, you know, you see more people become a part of it. It gets me happy when people DM me and say, wow, if it wasn't for seeing that post today, you know, I would have had a much crappier day. That's what,
well,
you know.
Well, your memes are very positive and they are very uplifting. So, you know.
Right. I'm not saying that I'm like this, like angel good all, you know, I'm just saying the intention behind why you post. Now, there's a lot of people out there that do have lots and lots and lots of followers. All you really need to do is show up to the skin and put the right eggs and you know, so those are the people that are looking for that very materialistic, you know, response. Oh, wow, you're so hot. I'm jealous of your life. And when you post with that intention, you understand that you're actually, you are bringing down the self-esteem of not only yourself, but every single person that interacts with that post and or your page.
Right.
So, like, And not to put down, if there are listeners out there that you know do post like that, I'm not in any way, shape, or form putting you down. I'm just inviting you to see what effect that has on other people. So what you show yourself in a bikini on the beach and with an expensive drink, that's all well and good. But what is the intention behind that? Everything we do is sacred. Every post we make, every action we take, every word we speak, every breath we take has purpose and meaning. So when people use social media outlets so sloppily, so they don't even think about what type of effect they're having, that's where we get this snowball effect of girls trying to be other girls, and then you get clone copies, and same with guys too. It's everywhere, guys, these fitness guys, and guys wanting to look a certain way, and happiness comes from within. Happiness is not having a healthy self-esteem and being happy about yourself is not a product of what you look like on the outside. It's not a product of what people comment on your posts. It's not a product of what kind of car you drive or what kind of house you live in or what, what you do for a profession. What it is who you are in the sense of, what do you give to this world by giving to yourself? What do you contribute by being the best version of yourself? So that's that.
No, I agree. And that's really wise. And, some people would say, I am the best version of myself when I'm posting, pictures of me looking amazing with my friends and having a wonderful time and all that. And I get that. And I say that's wonderful if that makes you, feel good and you want to, it connects us to the world. It connects us to people. And we want to hear, how other people are really just responding positively to that. I mean, we all want to hear that. And that's amazing.
Of course,
but, I'm not saying it's bad or shameful or anything like that. But what I'm saying is don't let other people's posts and what they say on social media and what they're doing affect you and make you feel like you're not enough, and that you're not doing enough, or you're not hot enough, or you're not, whatever, exciting, or your personality isn't that great. And don't let yourself be compared to what you're seeing on social media, because much of it is not really true. It's all a photo shoot. It's a photo shoot,
absolutely.
Selfie. There's so many young women I see who just spend hours on their selfies and putting makeup on perfectly and posing. And it's like, that's great. That's awesome. But, whatever makes you feel good. But, comparing ourselves to that is really, it can be devastating. So,
it can be devastating, absolutely, and it can be detrimental to the relationship that you have with the way that you look. When you see when you see these plastic, and by the way, women out there, listeners, if you think that you ever need to change yourself to please another man, that is not the man for you. If all women are beautiful in their own ways, right? And all men are very powerful and handsome in their own ways. Now, obviously, I'm heterosexual. I have a 5-month-old daughter and the most wonderful, amazing fiance in the entire world. So when I say that there are handsome men, I'm comfortable enough with my sexuality to say that yes, there are beautiful women and handsome men out there. And we are all beautiful women and we're all handsome men, right? Every single person out there has beauty. And it's not, some obviously are aesthetically pleasing more than others. That's just the way of the world. And some are more, internally pleasing than others as well. And some are aesthetically pleasing and internally pleasing. And some are the opposite of both. So the point is, there's always going to be someone that will love you. There's always going to be someone that you can attract into your life that will match the vibrational
right.
equivalent of your self-esteem.
Right.
So as long as you feel good about yourself, you
right.
will attract people that accept you, and not only accept you, but love you for exactly
right.
who you are. Where we get caught up is when you have a low self-esteem and then someone says that you need to change something about yourself. That's where things get, you know, problematic is
right.
you know, when you are not already totally comfortable with who you are, and then someone comes in and says, well, if you did this, you would look prettier. Then you say, oh my God, well, I need to go and do that. And if I don't do that, then I'm not going to be accepted by him anymore. He's going to look at
right.
other girls and
right.
vice versa. If I don't do that, she's going to look at other guys and blah. So, you know,
right.
be comfortable with yourself first. When you're comfortable with yourself first and you know who you are and you have a healthy relationship with your self-esteem,
right.
Then obviously you dive into looking for someone that respects you for who you are. Right. And that's
right.
really what it's about. That would be a comment for people that are single. For people that are not single, that are with someone, just make sure to constantly reinforce with your partner that they do look beautiful. Always tell them, right? Wow, I really love what you've done with your hair, or I really love those shoes. You know, I know that sounds silly, but it's the little things. You know, wow, you look beautiful in that dress. You are so stunning. You know, have it come from an honest place. Don't just say it just to say it. Say it from an honest place. You know, you love this person for a reason. Reinforce it on a daily basis if you can. And obviously, same women to men. Tell your men how much you appreciate them doing everything they do for you, because we bust your asses to make you guys happy. And I know that
yeah.
you bust your asses to make us happy. And as long as there's a mutual respect and a mutual compassion and a mutual understanding that it is a mutual appreciation for everything that, you know, we do for each other, there will not be self-esteem problems. There will, and that is so core too. When you get reinforcements from the people that you love, it does raise your self-esteem.
Yeah.
When you hear someone that you care about, you know, wow, you look great today, or you know, there's a glow in your eyes, or, you know, whatever it is, that it boosts that self-esteem. And then someone says something to you and then you feel good. And then all of a sudden you guys are like, yeah, we're looking good today. We're feeling good today. We're hot people. We're awesome. Life is good. And,
yeah.
and that's how to live a happy life, you know,
right,
and,
right.
and have a good relationship with your self-esteem.
I agree. No, you're so right. And it's, you know, so some of the tools that I suggest to people to help themselves, because like you and I were just talking about, you know, the sort of early messages that we get that might not be so positive about ourselves growing up, or being
yes.
picked on, like you said, or, you know, having a lot of fears and feeling that you're not in control of your life, things like that, which all lead to, you know, making ourselves feel powerless and like we have low self-worth. So there, you know, once we have awareness of some of the things that probably caused us to buy into some negative thoughts about ourselves, whether it was being teased or we didn't live up to the look exterior we should have had, or we were teased about our, you know, personalities or whatever it is. So when we can identify sort of those flashbulb moments in our life, in our lives that, you know, in school or, you know, with our, you know, growing up, whatever messages were given us, we get it. We know
right.
that we've incorporated a lot of those negative beliefs about ourselves into our subconscious.
Right.
So after self-awareness and knowing where a lot of these things came from, what we have to do is we have to change our thoughts. So, you know, one of my favorite authors right now and guys that I interviewed on my talk show is Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Yes.
And he, you know,
amazing,
in power of the mind
amazing.
And neural patterns. He's now a neurobiologist. And, you know, his big famous book was You Are the Placebo. So what we think, what we believe is what we can create. And it's more of a changing those thought patterns that are deep and negative.
Right.
On a subconscious level into a conscious positive level. So
right.
awareness of what our triggers are that make us feel bad. Yes, great. But how do we change that? We have to stop reliving those negative experiences. We have to stop feeling those, oh my gosh, that hurt so bad when, you know.
Yes.
We have to start being mindful and becoming aware of our negative self-talk. Because when we start distancing ourselves from those bad feelings and our negative self-talk, I'm not worthy, I'm not good looking enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not, my personality isn't, you know, I'm shy. We start to distance ourselves from the feelings that it brings up. So this enables us to identify with those feelings less, right? And with that awareness of what's causing this, we can easily fall back into the trap of believing our self-limiting talk, right?
Yes.
So don't believe everything we think, basically. Thoughts are just that. They're just thoughts, okay?
Yep, right.
So as soon as we find ourselves going down the path of self-criticism, we have to sort of be mindful and say, what is happening? Why am I doing this? You know, we have to really be curious about it and remind ourselves, these are thoughts, not facts.
Right.
So I have a guy who might come in to see me in my office, and he said, I don't think I'm good looking enough when I go out to clubs or, you know, social things, bars or whatever, to meet women with my friends. But they're really good-looking guys, and I will usually always get rejected because I'm not good-looking, and I'm shy, and my personality isn't that outgoing. They're the ones that always get the phone numbers.
Right.
And I said, you have to stop just assuming this. But it's true. Then you need to change your thinking.
Right.
And when you start really believing that you're just fine the way you are, and if you want to dress nicer, do it. If you want to have your hair changed, do it. If you want to smile more, do it. Learn ways that you can, you know, your body language. Maybe you're putting out fearful, I'm going to be rejected body language. Learn
of
these
course.
Things. Work through these things. Be who
exactly.
you are.
Exactly.
And also change the story. So he has that narrative or a story, you know, that he's created about himself, and we all do about ourselves, that shapes our self-perceptions. And that's where our core self-image is based. So if we want to change those stories, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not intelligent enough, my life, you know, I've done hardly nothing in my life, I'm worthless. We have to understand, you know, again, where it came from, and we have to tell ourselves, whose voices are we internalizing? Who is
right.
that?
Right.
So sometimes automatic negative thoughts like, oh, I'm fat, or I'm lazy. And if they're repeated in our minds so often, we start to believe it. And,
so
and from an early lifetime, if you're, you know, in your 20s, you know, or 30s or 40s from your early on lifetime, if you started embracing these negative beliefs as true,
right.
they're really firmly set neural patterns, which are going to come up continuously in your mind, you know.
That
they're learned.
That is so true.
But they're learned, which means they can be unlearned. Okay?
Right.
So how do they become unlearned? We start with a conscious awareness of changing what we think and countering those self statements. I'm fat. You know what? I'm really not. I have this body type and I have this, right?
Right.
And
like,
I know,
you know,
I can fluctuate.
I am grateful.
Right?
Exactly. I was just going to say, you know, I am grateful for the ability to lose weight, right? Let's say that you're dealing with, you know, someone that wishes that they, you know, shed some pounds. You, instead of saying, oh, I'm fat, oh, I don't like the way I look, oh, I can't wear this dress, say things like, I'm so grateful that I do have the ability to lose weight. I'm so excited to start losing weight. And I'm so excited for the day when I can and will fit in this dress.
Yeah.
Right. So this is, and Doc, you literally couldn't have said it better. It's absolutely perfect. You say it better than me. You know, it's really what it comes down to is reinforcing new neural pathways, reinforcing new thoughts to build new neural pathways to,
right.
you know, deconstruct the old ones and rebuild the new ones, deconstruct the
right.
self-destructive neural pathways and start rebuilding some self-respect, start rebuilding some complementary neural pathways, right? And like
yeah,
things,
sure.
that, things that, that you know are going to benefit you in regards to the way that you speak to yourself. On the Vibration Station, I always talk about how, sounds silly, but I talk to myself in the mirror every single day. You know, I have a mantra that I say to myself in the mirror. I look at myself and I visualize things and I feel things and it feels amazing. And if it wasn't for me doing that, I would still be
right.
participating in old, you know, patterns and thought patterns that were previous neural pathways, previous neural nets that did cause self-destruction. If it
right.
wasn't for me taking it upon myself to talk to myself in a loving way, I am my own beloved, right? And
yes.
a good friend of mine said that
Absolutely.
To me once. Said,
yes.
I am my own beloved. He goes, everyone else, yes, all of my friends, family, my wife, I love them all. My children, I love, they are my everything. They are my life. But I understand that I am my beloved first because I will only be as good to the people that are my beloved, the people that I love most in my life. It's I will
right.
only be as good to them as I am to myself. So I must treat
right.
myself like the you know, angelic king that I am, and therefore everyone else around me will get to experience what it's like to feel
right.
that energy, because obviously we become vibrational equivalents to the people we interact with. And you know, when you raise your vibration and start feeling your own self-worth, you
right.
rub that off, project it onto someone else, right? And then they feel self-worth. And if you have a good conversation about it, it solidifies it. And all of a sudden, it's this ripple effect. And
That's
just because
right.
you decided to
True.
Feel good, you know, there was 100, if not 100,000, if not 100 million, if not a billion, if not 7 billion people that were affected by it, right?
That's
so
right.
you have 8 billion, you know, you have no idea how your smallest actions and smallest emotions can
right.
affect someone's self-esteem in a positive way.
God, is that true? It's you know, that was beautifully said, Dave. And what I suggest that people do also to sort of understand, to change those automatic negative thoughts. And you said you look
right.
in the mirror and you, and affirmations are great. And right?
Yes, affirmations are wonderful.
A lot of people say that affirmations like, I am the most beautiful person in the world. I am the wealthiest person, you know. No, not those kind of affirmations. I'm talking about things that we can believe.
Right.
Okay? Things that, like you just tweaked, you know, the affirmations are, thank you for my ability to choose if I want to exercise and eat less carbs today.
Right. Right.
Thank you for allowing me to accept me for who I am. I am fine
yes.
the way I am. Thank you for giving me the choice. Thank you for giving me, you know, whatever the affirmation is that you know you believe. You have to
right.
believe in the affirmations. You know, so
yes, that is key. Is
right
when you do your
so,
affirmation, don't over project, you know.
And you know, so there's some research that I would like to share with you, awesome research.
Please,
you know, about
that would be awesome. I love your research.
Oh, well, there's this really like famous research conducted by Boyce and his colleagues, his Thomas Boyce PhD. He's showed that. It's called fluency training with positive affirmations, which is like writing down as many different positive things you can about yourself in a minute that you know about yourself that can lessen symptoms of depression. And they did this using the Beck Depression Inventory, which is probably the number one most empirical inventory test that measures depression.
Wow.
So larger numbers of written positive statements are correlated with less depression, right? Positive affirmations can help. They really can. So it's that fluency training. So writing down in 1 minute the most positive things you can every day about yourself and thinking about it and looking at it several times a day and knowing it. This is reaffirming. This is changing your brain. Okay.
I love that.
And talking about the social media thing, two key things that I think is really that are really important are to practice acceptance, right, with what we just discussed, and stop comparing ourselves to others.
100%.
And like I said, just because somebody appears happy in social media doesn't mean the person's happy.
No.
Because the comparisons that we give ourselves to others on social media, you know, who spend hours on makeup and hair for their selfies.
Right.
And angles.
Some people even hire professional photographers.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But these comparisons only lead to negative self-talk,
it's
which
so
leads
true.
To anxiety and stress.
It's so true. And then you think all of a sudden, and this is something that I've seen
right.
in the masses, I've seen it on TV, I've had personal experiences with it. What will happen is someone will see something on social media, they will judge themselves based on whatever it is that they're looking at, and it'll happen over and over and over and over and over again. And all of a sudden, they now label themselves as depressed or anxious. They have these labels when really it has nothing to do with a chemical imbalance in your brain. All
exactly.
it has to do with is your choice to
right.
continuously build these neuronets in your brain that say, I look worse than this girl. I wish I looked like this, or I wish I looked like this guy. I wish I had his muscles. You know, I'll never look like that. Right?
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden you're like, well, I'm depressed. And then you go and see, a prescribing doctor. And one thing I really love about you, Doc, is you are not a prescribing doctor. Not to put down the prescribing doctors, because they help a lot of people, but I love that you just work strictly with the mind and helping people, to do it naturally. But, you know, what these people do, they'll see a prescribing doctor, and then all of a sudden, they'll get on antidepressants or anti-anxieties, and it ends up messing them up in the long run.
The mind and body are so connected. So if we change our thoughts, we change. I wanted to just throw in two really quick things because I know you're ending your show.
Please.
In terms of helping people with their self-esteem, we all have gifts. So we all have to channel our inner rock star. Albert Einstein, everybody is a genius. We all have gifts. Channel it. Build on it. Learn it. And the last thing I want to say is forgiveness.
Mm.
We have to forgive ourselves for beating ourselves up. We have to forgive ourselves for saying, I'm not enough of enough. Let it go. Yes. And then we can forgive others, even those bullies in school, even our parents who weren't loving and wonderful to us. But we have to forgive ourselves for not loving ourselves enough.
Right.
So those are two really important factors in helping our self-esteem, getting ourselves intact with who we are in this world so we can be the best we can and channel our inner rock star.
Doc, I love that. Just really, really beautiful. And literally, your words are inspiring. You are inspiring. Everything that you do, everything that you talk about, it truly... you help so many people, Doc, and I know that you understand the power of the ripple effect, and I know that you help so many people, but you're very humble, and you're kind, and you're compassionate, and you're loving, and you're the embodiment of everything that is wonderful and beautiful about the people of this planet, and I love you, and I cherish you, and I thank you for taking your Sunday to share your wisdom and your understanding with us, and you're just make sure to check Dr. Michelle out. She is The best of the best. You will not be disappointed. Every Friday at 11 on the couch with Dr. Michelle, Channel 1 LA Talk Radio. Also, go ahead and check out our website, straighttalkdoc.com. And then if you want to email her, of course, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Dr. Michelle, love you so much. Thank you.
Love you, honey.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Hey, listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in to such a profound show. Once again, thank you, Dr. Michelle, for spreading your compassionate wisdom. All the unconditional love, light, happiness, abundance, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Good Vibe Station. And of course, you can always email me, davesvibrationstation@gmail.com. Other than that, guys, you have a happy, healthy, wealthy, wise, and completely fulfilling start to your new week. Love you guys so much. Talk to you next week. Looking forward to it. See you next Sunday. Peace.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.